Now, if the Stormont Assembly disappeared overnight, most people would notice little or no difference to their lives. So claims the columnist Alex Kane. Let's speak to him this morning. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. The commentator Jude Collins with us this morning as well. Morning to you, Jude.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So, Alex, what are you saying here?
I'm just looking back at what's happened in the past 14 years, Stephen, since we had the first Assembly election, when there was a new era of Northern Ireland, which has been talked about, new politics, a new way of doing business, a new way of building community relations, just a new way of building Northern Ireland. And it just strikes me, I do an awful lot of what's called civic society meetings, trade unions groups, business groups, school children, university students. And what I find over and over again at the minute is people who were enthused even 10 years ago, it's gone. They actually believe the Assembly is making no difference to their lives. They believe that there isn't an agenda for Northern Ireland. And somebody said to me the other day, they said, you know, Alex, if it all just disappeared tomorrow, it would make no difference. He was glad. He said, yes, I'm glad that we have a reduction in violence. That's important. But that era of the conflict was supposed to have been replaced by something different. And he's one of that almost 50% of people who have now stopped voting because there's nothing the parties are offering and nothing in the Assembly. And I'm just saying we need to be careful because when you get to a situation when people are choosing not to vote because the government doesn't reflect what they believe are their views about what needs to happen,
problems. It is facile, Alex, and it's not true that they're doing nothing. It's clear. For example,
what are they doing, Jude? What are they doing? What are they doing that makes it, which couldn't just as easily have been done under direct rule? Where is the unique agenda for Northern? Where's the power sharing? Where's the CSI document? Even look at yesterday with
The power sharing's happening. You know power
it's
sharing's happening.
It's mutual veto counterbalanced by mutual distrust. That's not power sharing. They actually look at everything so carefully. If you seem to get an advantage, oh, let's roll back a bit. And that isn't power sharing. That is just stalemate.
You're a former press chief of the Ulster Unionist Party. You're just miffed that the DUP's top dog now in unionism.
No, I complained about this right back in 1998. One of the first pieces I wrote about this was I said, let's be careful that what's supposed to be genuine power sharing, building relationships between new people coming into politics, just doesn't resolve into the same old stalemate. I said that 14 years ago. I haven't changed my view on this.
Jude Collins?
Well, I read Alex's article very carefully, and it's long on style, but it's short on specifics. I mean, he starts off by talking about General Pausanias in 470 BC Sparta, and he ends up by talking about the shackles that still lash us to the mooring posts of ancient grudges and whataboutery. So, dazzling prose style, Alex, but very short on specifics. I looked at it, and it seems to me saying about two or three things. One, that a direct, as you just said, a direct rule minister could have done the same thing as the executive up in Stormont. He's right, and he might have been able to do it cheaper. And a dictator might have been able to do it even cheaper still. But the Stormont rule is about being democratically grown up, making at least some of the decisions for yourself and for those people that you represent. It's called, whether you like it or not, democracy and being grown up. The other thing that Alex is suggesting is that we need new parties and new policies. Now, I would ask Alex, what kind of new party and what new policies?
Well, Jude, that's a fair question. Thank you very much for the praise about the style. I do appreciate that.
In terms of the
people who have opted out, and when you ask them, a recent opinion poll for the Belfast Telegraph and Lucid Talk came up, asked the same question, whether the parties were reflecting what was happening. And I think, particularly the younger generation, dude, maybe it's just I'm speaking to the wrong school children and the wrong students, but what they're telling me is that I think that what's growing in Northern Ireland is a sense of a Northern Ireland identity. And I think
you're
what
not
people
answering
hope,
the question.
I am. I'm just about to get there. I'm simply saying I think what people look when they see the Assembly, what they see is the same old, same old. They see the same old arguments. And yes, there are people who are happy enough for that. There are people who want to cling to those mooring posts, the fixed points of republicanism and unionism. But I think out there, Jude, I really do
what
believe...
What same old arguments?
There are growing numbers of people who say, I'm not specifically a unionist. Everything I believe, every socioeconomic belief of mine cannot be summed up in the word unionism. Equally, every socioeconomic belief for Republicans can't be summed up in that word. We have no socioeconomic debate.
What kind of new policies do you want, Alex? You keep on telling us what opinion polls have said and people who feel that they need more. What is it that you want in terms of policy? What is it that you want in terms of new party?
I want right, genuine right-left debate. I want ideological debate. I want people who
right
actually believe in right-wing politics versus left-wing politics. We don't have that. There has never been. I spent 12 years now at Assembly, Jude. I mean, basically, it was soporific. You never got a proper debate on anything because everything was reduced to the lowest common denominator, and the lowest common denominator in Northern Ireland politics still remains the us.
Are you saying that the constitutional question matters to the two major parties and all of the parties?
Yes, the constitutional question is, but if that's going to be the constant fixed point of Northern Ireland politics forever, then you will nothing will ever change. Nothing can ever. And when it comes to the next, for all of Peter Robinson saying, "Oh yes, I want to see shared education, I want to see shared housing, I want to see improvements, I want to reach out the argument right across for the benefits of the union," he doesn't do that. It will end up a very simple debate.
So yes, Jude, if I was to ask you, Jude, to spell out what the Assembly has achieved in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, what would you say?
Well, there's two images come to mind immediately. The thing that is a problem here, bedevils us here, is that we see the other as being sort of untouchable. Now, I have two images in my head. One is that when Peter Robinson was under pressure in terms of the Iris Robinson saga, who was it that stood beside him and expressed sympathy for what was happening rather than to try to take some sort of political gain from it? Martin McGuinness.
No, but Jude, the question is this. What has the Assembly achieved for the people of... for the people of Northern Ireland, what has the Assembly achieved? The big markers for the people of Northern Ireland.
I think these are very big markers. We know that at the root of our problems here is the division between the two communities. And what I'm saying is that certainly McGuinness and, to an extent, Peter Robinson also, are modelling for us how people, even if they don't particularly like each other, even if they have to overcome centuries of division, can work beside each other and can be sympathetic
toward each
other.
Whether those two get on with each other... Hold on a minute. Whether those two get on with each other or not, I'm asking you, what policies, what legislation has been passed that directly affects... and improves people's lives here in terms of their children's education, in terms of money in their pocket, in terms of jobs, in terms of housing? What have they done?
Well, I would say that they, if you're talking in terms of education, they have challenged the notion of the 11 plus, which is one of the most unjust systems of education that ever was devised.
There's still stalemate. There's parents all over the place in limbo.
The fact that some schools have chosen to reject that is not the fault of the executive or the law that was passed.
There's a stalemate.
Education. But look, I will still come back to this. The reason that we were glad to see an executive set up, the reason we were glad to see an assembly, the reason people voted in such overwhelming numbers in favour of the Good Friday Agreement is that they realised this was a way of ending the armed conflict, or at least abating it, and allowing people who for decades, had nothing to do with each other to sit down and try to work together.
Here's so Patrick this morning. Let me bring in Patrick. A few callers reacting to you both.
A single law. That
Hello.
Is a monumental
Hello.
Achievement.
Hello, Patrick.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you think?
I have to agree with you, Alex. I've lived in Northern Ireland all of my life, and I haven't voted for the last 4 years, purely because it's the same old thing. The flags come out of the wardrobe, out of the cupboards, and let's get one over on, let's get this done, let's get that done. There needs to be more of a humanitarian approach. I don't care what flag you carry. You're there to do a job. We pay our taxes for you to do a job. You can't do it, take yourself out of it.
Are you trying to tell me, Patrick, do you honestly think that less people are interested in their identity or interested in flags? Are you really telling me that than before?
Well, yes, I don't care who Peter Robinson talks to, who he doesn't talk to. Same with Martin McGuinness and the rest of them. It's not about that anymore. You know, we're in a situation where our health services crumbling, our education infrastructure is being annihilated. I mean, we're losing the fundamental options that the politicians should be focused on. Take them all out of it and put independence in, and I can guarantee you within a year there'll be a complete turnaround with politics in Northern Ireland.
Here's Alex in North Down. Morning, Alex.
Good morning. No, I agree with Alex Keane as well. I think I summed up with the other columnist you had on there that people voted for the Assembly because they didn't want the violence. Well, how long do we have that? How long are we going to have this mindset that it's better than what was? You know, I mean, this can't go. The first ceasefire was called in 1994, and we're still saying, well, we'll put up with the assembly because it's better with the alternative. The violence shouldn't be the alternative. The alternative should be a properly functioning government that actually makes decisions, and not just decisions to cut tax and to bring out popular decisions, but the administration that has the courage to actually say unpopular things and tell people how it is. And that's what this country needs. But I don't blame the politicians. It's the people that vote for them and the people that don't vote.
Here's Anne. Morning, Anne.
Good morning, Stephen. I represent the Carers Forum on Learning Disability, and it's mostly people with severe and profound learning disabilities. And I have to say to all those boyos who are on now, and I agree that there's things need to be done, but when there was a direct room minister, we tried to get help for people with a learning disability, especially in the Lisburn area that needed a new day centre. You know, it was really, really bad. And we lobbied Stormont, and I have to say to you, man, and a woman, everybody in Stormont supported us and worked very hard. And we now have a state-of-the-art learning disability centre in Lisburn, second to none. And it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't had Stormont. So I think they're being a bit unfair. And if they really aren't happy with things, they should do what the rest of us do. Lobby them and approach their MLAs and speak to people and explain. And if you don't do that, you can't complain if you're not going to do that.
Alex Keane?
And I have to say, I'm glad that the Stormont Assembly's there.
Alex?
I think I'm right in one sense. I mean, maybe I was being overly pessimistic. Yes, I think in some very specific cases, it's good that a local body, particularly the groups that Anne represents, are able to lobby someone specifically rather than a direct rule minister. Although my own gut instinct would have been that had the Belfast Agreement not got off the ground, then yes, there would have been a different lobbying system, which would probably still ended up with the same thing. But just very quickly on what Jude was saying, two things.
You have 20 seconds.
Jude said 80% of people voted for the Belfast Agreement, even for Hope. It's now down to just under 50%. That has to tell you something. People are no longer voting for this.